It's a modern myth in North American Christianity that when we become Christians, all our earthly troubles are supposed to disappear and we live happily ever after. There are even well-known TV personalities who preach a happiness and prosperity gospel. We can probably think of one in particular, and no names mentioned, but his initials are Joel Osteen. I watched a video clip of his wife preaching from the pulpit to their congregation. She said, "We don't need God. God needs us. And God needs us to be happy, because when we're happy, he's happy." Come on, what kind of a gospel is that? Such a distortion of the gospel can be preached only among the affluent in Western society. Now, there are more than 2 billion Christians in the world, making it the largest single religion of all. However, over 200 million Christians, or fully 10% of that amount, live in constant daily fear of harassment, persecution, confiscation of their property, imprisonment, torture, and death, simply because they are Christian. This is done mostly at the hands of Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and communists. Imagine trying to preach a happiness and prosperity gospel to these people. Imagine trying to preach a happiness and prosperity gospel to those of us right here who are hurting and suffering from serious illness. It just doesn't work. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." So let's take a look at some parts of these passages. Notice that the Father here, the Apostle Paul tells us, he's not just the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't deny or doesn't even suggest that Jesus himself isn't God. Of course we know Jesus is God, because it tells us very clearly, especially in John chapter 1. However, God, the Father, is supreme. He is the head of God. And Paul tells us in another passage that he is the head of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as Jesus is the head of the church. And he's also the Father of compassion and God of all comfort. But we see Jesus working in this passage as well, because he says about halfway through that the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. So we see the Father and the Son working together for our comfort. So where's the Holy Spirit in all of this, the third person of the Trinity? We see in the book of Acts chapter 9, and I quote this from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB, because it has the word comfort in it, which I was looking for for the sermon. "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase." Now, if you're reading from an NIV, you will notice the word encouraged in place of comfort. And both translations are valid. Both words are a valid translation of the Greek, because Greek words have many different meanings. They're multifaceted. The word here that is translated as comfort or encouraged is parakleisei. And those of you who are familiar with biblical terminology probably notice that that is very close to the other Greek word parakletos, which often in the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit. Parakletos means comforter, counselor, helper, or encourager. So let's put this passage into its historical context. The church had endured a time of persecution by the Jews from the stoning of Stephen and all the way through the time that the apostle, or rather, he was known as Saul at that time, was traveling around the countryside, rounding up Christians, arresting them, taking them back to Jerusalem and to be thrown in prison, tried, and some of them were actually executed. The church had, now many of them had seen their relatives and friends imprisoned and stoned to death for being Christian. Paul had just had his conversion experience before this passage describes. He had his conversion experience on the road to Damascus and had returned to Jerusalem. When his life was threatened by the Jews, he was hurried off to his hometown of Tarsus by the brothers in Jerusalem. For some reason, the persecution eased up, and the church experienced a time of peace. But the people were still hurting from their losses. But rather than being destroyed, as the persecutors intended, the church was comforted and strengthened by the Holy Spirit and continued to grow. So we see in these two passages the unified work of the Holy Trinity. They all work in unison to bring us comfort in our sorrows and trials. This is an example of how the Trinity works together in all that God does. The three have one and the same purpose in everything. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, we read this, in Luke chapter 4, he, Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is found in Isaiah chapter 61. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, doesn't that sound like a much different gospel than the happiness and prosperity? Jesus was sent by our Father in heaven to preach good news to the happy? No, to the poor. To proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and release the oppressed. Wouldn't that be a more comforting gospel to preach to those 200 million persecuted Christians and to those who are hurting and distressed right here among us? Let's see something else that Jesus said about his gospel. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I really like that passage. It's one of my favorite in all the Bible, because my life is going pretty well right now, in spite of living with heart failure. and a few other things. However, my past life was, well, I won't spend an hour describing how it was, but I suffered from depression for 57 years and had all kinds of other challenges. Life is great right now compared with what it used to be. So here Jesus is telling us how to receive the comfort that comes from God. We come to him and learn from him. So how do we come to him and learn from him? By listening to some famous TV evangelist tell us his version of the gospel? No. We come to God in prayer, basking in his grace and the presence of his Holy Spirit, pouring out our feelings on him, alone in a quiet place. And then we read the four Gospels, not all at once. You can read them, bit by bit through during your devotional time. But we search for the words of Jesus, marking all those passages that give us comfort and hope, learning all of his commands so that we can put them into practice, like the wise people who build their houses on the rock of our salvation. And in that way, we receive the comfort of God. And then, with the comfort we receive from God, we can comfort others who are hurting. Let's pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of compassion and God of all comfort, we are eternally grateful to you for sending us your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And we are grateful for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to dwell within each and every one of us, so that we may receive the comfort that flows from you through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. Father, please comfort us and counsel us through your Holy Spirit. Let us bask in the warmth of your radiance so we will know your love. And let us know joy and peace and fulfillment in fellowship with your saints. Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.